Now, Sarah looked across the gas station parking lot and tried to will Jordan out of the port-a-john. What was taking the poor kid so long? As if it read her mind, the little terrier trotted through the rain to the blue plastic hut. The dog sniffed at the bottom of the door. Sarah stepped back into the rain. "You doing okay?" she yelled, banging on the john door. "Jordan, are you all right?" She hesitated, but decided she was a mom after all. If she saw private parts of him exposed, it was no big deal. She pulled open the door and stood staring, not comprehending for a moment what she saw. Jordan sat on the floor, his body facing her with his knees up sharp by his shoulders, his head lolled to one side, hair touching that filthy seat. Sarah filed away every detail in slow motion. His eyes rolled back, white in his head, the puff of gray foam on his chin dripping into his lap, the crotch of his jeans dark, a pool of urine under him. She looked up at his face again, finally seeing it, the needle in his neck. A thin line of blood dripped from the hypodermic jutting out of his throat. The terrier barked and jolted her into action. "Oh my God, Jordan!" She shook his shoulders, and a small glass vial rolled from the crook of his hip to the floor. She snatched it up. A trace of clear liquid rolled in the vial. "Jordan? What is this? What did you do?" She shook him again, and the needle bobbed. Without thinking, she jerked it out, but her stomach somersaulted when she saw the drops of blood that blossomed and dripped down his neck in rhythm with his pulse. She shoved the vial into her coat pocket before reaching under his arms and hauling him out of the john. Her adrenaline was too much, and Jordan much slighter than she expected, so she barreled out of the port-a-john and fell. Jordan ended up on his back, looking up at the rain, mouth open, hands unnaturally bent, fingers fluttering. Sarah scooped him up and carried him to the van, the terrier yapping at her heels. She opened the side door and shoved Jordan in among the plastic bags of wrapped fish and shrimp, then grabbed her cell phone and dialed 911. She realized she couldn't describe where she was. She had no idea what side street she was on, and no name identified the gas station. "Never mind." She slammed shut the van door and ran around to the driver's side. "I'll bring him to Miami Valley Hospital. Can you tell the ER?" Sarah tossed the phone into the passenger seat before the dispatcher finished speaking. "Jordan, Jordan!" she screamed as she peeled out of the gravel lot and careened through the rainy streets. "Don't die. Don't die. Please don't die. Jordan, talk to me." As if to answer, more vomit gurgled out of his throat. In the hurried glimpses over her shoulder, she saw he was twitching, convulsing, but as long as she heard his ragged breaths, she could drive instead of performing CPR. She kept repeating his name until she pulled into the emergency room lot, ignoring the red sign that said, "Ambulances only, please," driving onto the sidewalk, almost hitting the entrance doors. Throwing the van into park, its windshield wiper still flapping, she yanked open the side door and pulled Jordan out by the ankles until she could reach under his arms. She half-dragged him through the double set of doors into the registration area, where three people she recognized rushed to meet her, calling her by name. "Is it Danny?" Nancy Ray asked her as she and an orderly took the child from Sarah's arms and put him on a waiting gurney. "No, no, he isn't mine. His name is Jordan Kendrick, Courtney Kendrick's son. She's a doctor here, obstetrics. I think she's here now." The receptionist bolted for the phone. Nancy was already rushing Jordan away, announcing, "This kid's in cardiac arrest," and that she needed this and this and that. Combinations of words and numbers that made up the language Roy used to speak. Sarah reached into her pocket for the vial. "He took drugs. Here, he took this." A nurse snatched the vial from her and ran after Nancy. A male nurse led Sarah to a chair and said, "Give me your keys, Sarah. I'll park your van." She handed over the keys without speaking, wishing that she hadn't needed to see his name tag to remember that his name was Alan. It had been 2 years since she'd set foot here, where Roy had worked, and where she had to bring him at the unexpected end.